This week on the Time Bat Show.
Now this is a Batman I can get behind. He's like DIY Batman.
He's Pinterest Batman. Like,
like half of it just doesn't work at all. Hello everyone and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 95. I'm one of your hosts, Time Asis.
And I am another one of your hosts, Bat Snacks.
It's 95th episode. We're only five away from one, the big 100. Double digits, or triple digits.
And you know how that's going to work out too? We're going out into the desert in about a month, right?
2 months, but yeah.
2 months? Oh we no, should, we would have to take off.
Like, we should skip shows on purpose.
We would have to miss how many weeks? Like four?
You want to do the math on the air? This is really riveting talk.
No, anyway.
No. Let's do it. We're doing it. So 30th, and then 6th, 13th. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 7 weeks.
Okay.
Until then.
And five episodes. So we would only need to skip 2 weeks.
We can skip 2 weeks. We can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. We'll figure that out once we get closer to the big day. How are you today, Batsnax?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah. It's been an eventful, exciting week with lots of stuff happening.
Has it, really?
Yes.
Good. Are you drinking a gas station soda right now, or are you just...
I'm drinking a...
Oh, there it is.
Gas station soda.
There it is. Your weekly ritual. I got you pegged. Yep. See, after 95 episodes, I know how these things work now.
Yeah.
What do you got today in there?
You know me. I like my aspartame sodas.
Your Diet Coke.
Yeah. Usually what I do is if they have Coke Zero, I'll get mostly that with like a little splash of regular Coke on top.
Sure.
Just a little bit.
A little splash. Have you found as you age, you're like cutting your sugar down a little bit? Like some stuff is too sweet.
I've never really liked sugar.
Well, okay. So maybe you're a bad example. All right, yeah. I'll give you an example of me then, right? Because I've always liked sugar. I love sugar. I'm like an ant, basically. So growing up in North Florida, obviously, sweet tea is basically everywhere, right?
Yeah.
And I drank that all the time as a kid, and because it's delicious. And I still drink it now. Texas has sweet tea. I mean, not as much as Florida, but I mean, you can still get it pretty much everywhere. Mm-hmm. But what I find myself doing at restaurants, if they have like a serve your own sweet tea thing. Yeah. I'll do like half sweet, half unsweet. Or sometimes like a quarter sweet and like three quarters unsweet. And the reason is because I don't know if people are making their tea sweeter or my like tolerance for super sweet stuff is like going down, but I'm like cutting it in half and I'm like, I don't know. I feel bad about it sometimes. It's weird.
Why do you feel bad?
I don't know.
It's your drink. You paid for it.
My drink. I had this idea. I feel like adults in general are like consuming less sugar as they age because they're, you know, as a kid you want sugar, but as an adult you want some sugar, but not necessarily all sugar.
Yeah.
And I had this brilliant idea. Well, me and my wife had it for a new brand of soda, right? And I'm going to say this, and I'm just saying it right now. I don't know if this is legal, but I'm copywriting this right now. Like, verbal copyright. That's a thing, right?
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to have to mail
you it. You can mail the episode to yourself. Remember how people used to, like, say that? That's, like, how you copyright stuff.
That is so bullshit, but yes. Like, I had an uncle who would be, like, a blueprint for, like, a new toilet, like, flusher or something, and be like, I mailed the blueprints to myself, so they're copyrighted. And now it's like,
that's how you know I own it.
It's like, I don't think that's how it works, Uncle Lou or whatever. I'll mail like an episode, a transcript of this episode, for the copyright. No, but my idea is basically, so we have sweet soda, regular soda, and we have diet soda. And diet soda generally has 0 calories, you know, except like Pepsi One, which has like 1 calorie.
Yeah, or it's like a meme number.
Yeah, it's like a dumb number, like 20 calories or something. My idea for soda is just basically make the same soda, but cut the calories in half. Or not the calories, cut the sugar in half. Like, nothing to do with like, the calories will go down because you're cutting the sugar in half. But basically just cut the sugar in half, which is going to cut the calories down and make the soda less sweet. But here's the key. Don't add fake sugar to, like, make up for the lack of real sugar. Like, just leave it alone, essentially. Because the problem I have with diet soda is they, like, cut all the sugar out. And then in lieu of the sugar, they're like, here's some fake sugar. And I'm like, I don't want fake sugar. I want real sugar. So I'd rather them just cut all the like, I'd rather them just half the sugar. And then you can do a whole brand of sodas that are just like, you know, Coke half, or like, you can come up with funny names for them or whatever, but it's just basically cut the sugar in half, and then you might have to cut the carbonation down a little bit too, but I don't know. That's it. That's all you do. And I feel like millennials, adult millennials, would really get behind that, you know, because
I would drink it.
We like sweet things, but we don't want to be too, like, there's a lot of sugar in a regular Coke, right?
Yeah, like, a regular Coke is unreasonably sweet.
It's very sweet. Like, to me, I, like, drink, like, sometimes I'll, like, at work, I'll be like, I need some caffeine, so I'll get, like, a Coke. And I'll drink it, I'll be like, holy mackerel, this like, is sweet. Like, wow. Especially from a can. I feel like it's sweeter from a can.
Yeah, too. It's, like, concentrated. There's no ice in it.
Yeah, when you get it at a restaurant and there's ice, it's easier to drink. But from a can, it's like, whoa. And then I'll, like, have to throw half of it away because I just can't do it. But if there was half the sugar, I think, I don't know, I think it would be a good idea. But here's my marketing. Are you ready for my marketing?
I'm ready, yeah. That's the most important part.
This is the winner here. So you got Dr. Pepper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dr. Pepper is like a doctor, assumedly. Dr. Pepper has a sister, and she is unmarried, but she's like the CEO of Dr. Pepper, and her name is Miss Pepper. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it's like Miss Pac-Man, right? But she's got, like, a chemical engineering degree. She, like, she's no slouch either. She just didn't get her doctorate. But she's, like, the CEO of Dr. Pepper. And her idea is, once she becomes the CEO, is, I want a lower-calorie Dr. Pepper that isn't crappy diet Dr. Pepper. So I want Miss Pepper. So then you got Dr. Pepper is classic Dr. Pepper. Then you got Miss Pepper, which is half the sugar Dr. Pepper. And then you still have, like, Dr. Pepper Zero or whatever the hell it's called. You know, the black sheep. But then you could do this whole ad campaign with, like, Dr. Pepper is, like, the nerdy antisocial scientist. And then Miss Pepper is, like, this, like, you know,
smarter
CEO woman that's, like, really clever and good at business, you know. And they, like, have, like, you, like, show them growing up and stuff. And once
she's like a scientist or something. Yeah. Like, Dr. Pepper's not a real scientist. He got it from, like, an online. Like, he's not a real doctor.
He has his degree from, like, University of Phoenix or something. He's like a doctor in, like, animal sciences or something. Something like that. And Miss Pepper has, like, a master's in, like, chemical engineering or something like that.
Yeah.
So she doesn't go by doctor because she's not, but. But yeah, you could have this whole storyline of them. Like, I could just imagine these commercials, you know.
Me too.
And then she's like, oh, finally, a drink for me, for so that I'm going to drink. And then she's like, Miss Pepper. And it's like a Miss Pac-Man kind of thing.
When I think of Dr. Pepper too, I think it the brand has, like, gamer attached to it. Like, when I think of Dr. Pepper, I think of a man playing World of Warcraft, drinking his Dr. Pepper, and eating his Doritos.
Sure.
So that's Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Miss Pepper, you can reach a new demographic of different people.
She's, like, having brunch at Hamburger Mary's or, like...
Yeah, I don't know what Hamburger Mary's is, but sure, that sounds like a place she would have brunch at. Yeah, and she's, like, I don't know, she's, like, a smart, you know, successful businesswoman, you know. That's Miss Pepper, and that's your soda.
It sounds great.
Doesn't it? And you can do a similar ad. I imagine, like, a reference ad would be, like, the green M&M. Or no, the brown M&M. The brown M&M.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the smart one. You know, she's kind of... She's cleverer than the red and yellow M&M. You know, she knows what's going on. Similar to that, I think. So, there's my brilliant idea for half-calorie or half-sweet, half-sugar soda called Miss Pepper. I think it would work best in the Dr. Pepper brand, but that's just me. So, if you want to discuss buying that from me... just tweet at TimeBatsHow, and we'll talk about it.
We'll talk to you, yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm willing to part with it for like $1 million, I think.
Diet Dr. Pepper is the worst soda, too. I can't I drink it.
That's why they need to rebrand. Like, yeah. Coke has gone through all these different diet ones. I think rebranding is almost a lost cause for them. But Dr. Pepper
I like Coke's diet sodas. Yeah, they're pretty good.
Most people drink, like, nobody drinks Diet Dr. Pepper. Like, they need to make a intermediary drink for those people that like Dr. Pepper but don't want super sweet Dr. Pepper.
I mean, someone probably does, but they're a maniac. Like,
it's like, all of my favorite sodas, Diet Dr. Pepper. I've never heard anyone utter those words before.
And I like to. That's what I used to wash down my drywall sandwiches. Like,
oh man! I mean, I love regular Dr. Pepper, but I'm getting to the point in my age where I open a can of Dr. Pepper and I'm like, wow, this is super sweet. I don't know if I can drink all this. So, I just wish there was a Miss Pepper for me. You know, for the adults out there. What are we talking about today? I feel like we have a shit ton of stuff to talk about today on the show. Thanks for sticking with us through that rough 10-minute introduction.
You texted me today and said that we need to talk about Bitcoin. Did something happen?
We do. We need to talk about Bitcoin. Well, so Bitcoin is, like, doing some weird stuff. It's always doing some weird stuff, right? Like, it's never not doing weird stuff. It's, like, still really expensive to make Bitcoin, each Bitcoin costs money. But the GPUs have finally leveled out where they're not, like, the demand isn't high enough for them to, like, be really expensive, like the video cards, anymore. Yeah. And I think that's because the cost of mining Bitcoins is, like, your return on an investment is not quite worth it anymore.
There was an episode of Silicon Valley, and one of the characters in that show is a Bitcoin miner, and he had an alarm that went off in his office every time Bitcoin became profitable to mine, because, like, the price, it, like, went it over the price so of electricity.
Yeah, and I think that's what's happening now, and there was a study that came out that said, like, last year, in 2017, I think it was, like, the amount of electricity we used to mine Bitcoin exceeded the amount of electricity used in the entire nation of Ireland, like, combined.
Yikes.
Like, they like, we used, like, globally, we used more electricity to mine Bitcoins than Ireland did to do everything in Ireland that uses electricity.
That makes me so mad, dude, because, like, I don't want to go through a whole thing where we explain where Bitcoin is. Like, that's so boring, and everyone's had that conversation. But
you're like, using electricity Bitcoin, to do nothing.
Like, mining Bitcoin is the equivalent of, you know, when you press 1 + 1 on a calculator and you just keep pressing equals, like, and mashing your hand and it's useless. Like, that's mining Bitcoin.
I know, but that's real world value. Well, not real world, Bitcoin value. And so that's why people do it. It's just so weird to me.
It doesn't contribute, like, in a meaningful way.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. That's why I wanted to talk about it. Because it's just so weird to me that, and I feel like everyone has talked about this, but it's so weird to me that we have this, like, thing that people want, this Bitcoin, but, like, getting it does absolutely nothing for the rest of the world. It doesn't give anyone anything. Like, it's not a service. It's not a good. It's just there. And somehow, it's really, really valuable.
Yeah, and you can't even, like, play games with it.
And people,
like,
are
Magic the Gathering cards.
And people are using electricity to get this, like, fake thing that doesn't exist. It's just really weird if you think about it. I think cryptocurrency is, like, a great idea in theory, but in practice, especially in Bitcoin, it's just like, what is happening? Like, I don't think they assume. I don't think the person that made Bitcoin thought this was going to happen.
Yeah, that's a lot of resources to go towards just, like, running
and
computations for nothing, basically.
And I don't know a whole lot about Bitcoin. I know enough, probably as much as the average person. But, like, is there, like, a central Bitcoin server somewhere that's, like, doing all the, like, computations or something? It's like managing the value and the, you know, because, like, people discover Bitcoin, right? They're, like, mining it, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, doesn't something have to be, like, divvying that out, like, to people? Like, some machine?
I think the way it works is every person that wants to use Bitcoin has to have all of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, on their computer. All the data.
Yeah, so last I checked, it was over 60 gigabytes worth of stuff that you had to have on your computer, but it's probably gotten to a lot more than that.
For one. But, like, how do you discover a Bitcoin? Like, when you mine a Bitcoin, you're basically creating a new Bitcoin. So, like, it's like as if the U.S. Treasury printed $1. That's, like, what happens when you mine a single Bitcoin.
Yeah, I think what happens, it's kind of like finding a new prime number that's really big.
Oh, okay.
There's a hash... There's a hash function you can use to tell if it's a real Bitcoin or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you just, like, hash that big number. And if it checks out, if it's good, then hooray, you got your coin. If not, then it's not real.
Run into the problem where the more Bitcoins have been mined, the longer it's going to take to do that hash function?
Yeah.
You're going to have to use bigger and bigger numbers.
That's true. Yeah. The more that are discovered.
It's just going to be, like, more and more expensive to mine Bitcoin eventually.
Hopefully. I want people to stop doing that stuff.
Here's the other really funny thing I read on the same article. I'm going to not quote verbatim, but basically it was, if Bitcoin ever reaches like $50,000, I don't remember what it is. It's like if it goes, the value of Bitcoin is like $2,000 or something like that. I don't remember exactly, but
yeah, it's around six right now.
Okay, six. If it ever gets 10 times the value of it is now, which is probably really unlikely, but to be fair, it's 10 times its value that it was like 3 years ago. So, I mean, it probably won't exponentially keep increasing like that. But hypothetically, if Bitcoin was 10 times the current value it is now, it would be economically nonsensical to utilize your money on anything else but mining Bitcoin. So, like, think about that for like a second. Like, it's so good to mine Bitcoin that it would be wasteful to spend your money as a company to do anything else but mine Bitcoin.
Maybe for a time, but I think eventually, you know, demand on other stuff would go up because everyone stopped doing it.
It would level out. But, like, that idea to me is just hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, initially, like, everybody. Like, Charmin, Exxon, like
every Toys R Us. Would just stop creating it, like, making goods. Be like, we're Bitcoin now. We're doing Bitcoin now. And then it would, like...
Everybody would lose their jobs.
And then the economy would just completely tank because Bitcoin would die. Because... everyone's making it. Supply would outpace demand. Bitcoin would die, but then all these companies devoted all these resources to Bitcoin, and they're like, oh, shit, Bitcoin's not valuable anymore. And then they scramble. I think it'd be like a big bubble. It would just explode, and it's just like, well, we're screwed now.
Yeah, you'd get, like, the richest companies would get all the Bitcoins to themselves really quickly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it would probably crash. Then extreme poverty, and then the Messiah comes and has to save the planet. And,
and they have all the Bitcoins. That they hoard all the Bitcoins for themselves. I remember sending this to you, and you had a really funny comment, and it was like...
I don't know. Yeah, you sent it to me, and I just immediately thought of Dune for some reason. I was like, okay, four companies are going to get all the Bitcoins to themselves. Yeah. And then Paul Atreides comes out, and he's like, I'm the Bitcoin Messiah, guys. I can crack the Bitcoin code.
And then he can mine Bitcoins in, like, record time. Like, yeah, he has some algorithm.
He has, like, a secret God-given algorithm that, like, gets him all the coins.
And so all these companies that spend all this money, they can't do anything. Like, they can't compete with that anymore.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, that's dangerous. He becomes the dictator of the world at that point.
Because all the Bitcoin. He has all the Bitcoin.
Yeah,
because
he owns it all.
Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we get into a place where literally everyone's mining Bitcoin all the time, and you're just using it to trade stuff. So we're going back to, like, this barter economy. It's like, you got the Bitcoin? Yeah, I got Bitcoin. All right, here you go. Here's my goat, or whatever. Like, at that point, money is not really money anymore. It's like, because everyone's, like, working to get it, but no one's producing any goods to get. Like, everything would just be really expensive, I guess.
Yeah.
You had this really funny comment too. You were like, I think you said something to the effect of like, oh man, this is, these Bitcoins are really cool, but I really need some toilet paper.
Right. Yeah. This is a great equalizer.
I know, like, at some point someone's gonna need toilet paper and Charmin's gonna change course and from go back to toilet paper, and they're gonna charge like an arm and a leg for toilet paper. Because everyone's gonna have Bitcoin at that point, you know, and only like rich people will be able to afford toilet paper.
Could afford it, yeah,
because they have all the Bitcoin. And Charmin like would have to charge so much for toilet paper to make it worthwhile that they're not mining Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. And I think they could do it. They could make money. Like they could they could extort people. Like people need their toilet paper, especially like rich people.
Like as you said, it's like the great equalizer. Like you need it. Everybody needs it. This is such a dystopian idea.
Yeah.
The Bitcoin apocalypse. As well. I don't think it's going to happen, but I don't know. It's scary. Bitcoin is just wild. It's mad.
Yeah, it is wild. I can't believe that so many people know about it. Like, it just sounds like the dumbest nerd thing ever. And
well, it started like that, right? Like, it started like, I remember 5 or 6 years ago when it first came on to the scene. There's like Bitcoin meetups, you know, and there's a bunch of nerds that were getting together talking about the technology behind Bitcoin and being like, you know, it's like a goofy nerd hobby, basically, you know?
Yeah.
And now it's like a legitimate currency.
Yeah, like my dad knows about Bitcoin.
I know, same. It's weird. It's so weird. And people like had made so much money off Bitcoin. I wish I got onto that on the ground floor, but, you know. Like, a couple years ago, it was like a penny per Bitcoin, and now it's, like, $6,000. Like, why didn't I do that? Why didn't I just buy...
Well, because, all right, I don't think you did anything wrong. There's sometimes it's not cool to speculate with your money. That's like, true.
You're right. I think I thought...
I want to sell you a fake coin.
That's not worth anything, really. It's not based on any real-world value at all. What else is going on today other than Bitcoin?
Speaking of science fiction scenarios and such, the Hugo Awards were awarded last weekend.
Yeah, I did not watch them. I didn't get a chance to. But you did, didn't you?
I did. They had a YouTube stream this year, and I don't know if it was their first year doing it. But
how did you feel about the Hugos? If you're not familiar with the Hugos, it's a science fiction awards, right?
Yeah, and they're released every year. They give them to like novels, short stories, and stuff like that.
I think they do movies now too.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
You seem like you have a strong opinion.
I have something to say about what they gave to movies.
Go on.
Okay, so this year, the best novel was by N.K. Jemisin for her Broken Earth series.
Never heard of it.
And it's the first time that a trilogy has won 3 years in a row. So the first book in the trilogy won in 2015, and then one in 2016, and, you know, each year until this year.
Yeah, that's cool.
So Broken Earth series must be a really, really good book to win 3 Hugos.
Usually
so
the second in a trilogy is always, like, kind of bad, because it's, like, setting up for the third one, and you're like, I don't care about this damn thing. With the exception of The Two Towers, which is the best part of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I don't really like trilogies that much, and I feel like I'm gonna get a lot of flack for this, but it's because, like, I like my stories self-contained, and when I finish one, I want to be like, okay, that was cool, I'm glad that finished. But with a trilogy, I like know, like, none of this is like permanent, you know. It's just like,
yeah, pretty much all my favorite especially sci-fi stories are self-contained. Sorry. Because I like to read sci-fi for new ideas, and in a series, like, once you're embedded in that world, like, there's only so many new places you can go.
Yeah, and I think especially with sci-fi, for me, like, at the end of a science fiction book, good ones are, like, almost ambiguous, where it's like, oh, the hero succeeded or whatever, but, like, what do they do next? Like, I don't know, use your imagination, you know, and that's kind of this cool mystery world of, like, that's what science fiction is all about for me, like, that, like, unknown, and, like, you kind of can fill in the gaps and speculate how this world functions and stuff. But with, like, long series, it's like, you read the whole thing, and, like, there's no mystery anymore. It's just like, yeah, we cover literally every aspect of this universe in all the books, you know? And at the end of the thing, you're like, I'm not wondering about anything anymore. And that's, I don't know, kind of boring for me, I guess.
Yeah, so she won this year, and, you know, congrats to her. I'm sure it's a great series, but I don't know. I might check it out. It sounds cool.
It does. I mean, what is it about? Is it a cool premise or whatever?
Yeah, it's about, like, there's, like, a single continent planet, and there's this race of, like... like airbender people.
Yeah, you lost me already. I don't care. Yeah. Anytime there's a people that can do a cool weird Goku stuff, I'm like, I don't care. I've read that book like thousands of times already. I don't need to read it again.
Anyway, I'm probably misrepresenting her beautiful.
You probably are. I feel like I've read that story a million times. Like, there's this one faction, and then this other faction, and they can do magic. And it's like, they fight. And it's like, great. That's like every book ever written in the fantasy genre.
For movies this year, though. All right, so check out the nominations. You got some sick nominations. The Shape of Water.
Was this for last year, 2017?
No, this is for this year. These were the award, like, these were all nominated this year, somehow.
Okay, because Shape of Water was... Whatever, go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. So maybe it counts for 2 years. It was The Shape of Water, Star Wars The Last Jedi, Blade Runner 2049, Get Out, Thor Ragnarok, and Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Which movie do you think won?
I mean, Get Out and Wonder Woman don't really fit that at all, but because Wonder Woman is a comic book movie and Get Out is a horror movie, but I guess you could kind of bend them into science fiction if you really wanted to. Same with Thor, although it's more science fiction. If I were a judge, I'd probably give it to Shape of Water or Blade Runner, because I think those are the two that stand out to me as like achievements in science fiction. Blade Runner for the fact that it was very kind of art housey for a science fiction movie, and Shape of Water for being such a kind of a fantasy fairy tale, but also science fiction at the same time, you know? And those very, I don't know, they both had very strong styles. Yeah. So
also with Blade Runner, you've got the fact that it was a sequel to Blade Runner 1, which was based off a Philip K. Dick novel, which he won all kind of Hugos.
I don't think he won a Hugo award for that, actually.
He didn't win it for that. He got one for High Castle, though. High
Castle, the worst book in his room.
Anyway, so you've got that going for Blade Runner. Star Wars The Last Jedi.
That's got pulp appeal, right? It's like, it's Star Wars.
And Star Wars, that was Carrie Fisher's last movie, and you know... Movies with an actor where it's their last movie, they usually win awards because, you know.
Yep. All right, give me...
Anyway, Wonder Woman won.
Wait, what? What
Wonder Woman won the award.
Wonder Woman? It's not even a science fiction movie.
Yeah, it beat Blade Runner, it beat Shape of Water, it beat Star Wars, Thor.
I'm going to say it right now. I'm going to alienate all our listeners. I think I said this already. I hate Wonder Woman. I hate that movie so much. It's so stupid. Stupid movie. I don't know why anyone likes it. Here's the thing about Wonder Woman. I mean, I like that it's Wonder Woman. It's the main character's a woman. She did a really good job as Wonder Woman. I think it was great. First 30 minutes of that movie were great. Okay? And then I'm going to spoil Wonder Woman. It's like a year and a half old. So, whatever. The last part of that movie is just the dumbest superhero bullcrap that, like, means absolutely nothing. Like, did you see Wonder Woman?
No, but I know it's not as good as Blade Runner.
Dumb. It's like, I don't know why people think the second half of this movie is good. Like, there was a point in Wonder Woman. I shit you not. I'm watching the movie, and Wonder Woman's there, and Chris Pine is there, and they have all this fun banter. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is cool. This is kind of like superhero Indiana Jones. You know, they're on, like, an adventure, and they're doing war stuff. You know, it's, like, fun. And then at some point in the movie, it just, like, switches gears. It's just like... Now we're a dumb superhero movie. Because we gotta be. Because we have to be. And Wonder Woman's suddenly, like, being superhero. and she's fighting this other dude that's this, like a superhero bad guy. And they're like flying around and throwing tanks at each other. And like this is like completely changes the way the previous part of the movie was, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it goes from like a kind of semi-grounded, fun, pulpy adventure to like a dumb as rocks superhero movie that makes absolutely no sense. And the characters like don't make any sense anymore to me. Okay. It's just, it's bad. It's terrible.
I'll take your word for it.
It went from like a 4-star movie to like a 2-star movie in like 5 minutes. Like literally, it was that fast. It like turned on a dime. It was like, I'm a really good movie. Oh, never mind. I'm really bad. Like, you know, have you seen Batman versus Superman?
No.
Okay. You know how bad it is though, right? The ending of Wonder Woman is basically the ending of Batman. Like, it's the same. It's the same movie. It's just the same thing. It's just like two people fight in a city and they're like throwing shit at each other. And like, there's no acting. There's just like, and that's like the whole last like 30 minutes of the movie. It's just like, and then one of them dies. The bad guy dies. And then they're like, Diana, you're Wonder Woman. And then it's like, bah, 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 Wonder Woman. And that's the movie. That's the fucking end of the movie. It's like, they built this whole thing up and then they end it with that. It's just, it made me so mad. So, yeah, I take issue with that winning any awards. I don't care.
It won the Hugo Award.
That's the dumbest. No, that's stupid. I mean, that's fine if they want to give it to Wonder Woman. But, I mean, every movie in that list was better than Wonder Woman.
I agree with you.
I watched an episode of Seinfeld yesterday that was better than the entirety of Wonder Woman. So, let's put it that way. Wonder Woman was bad. I don't care if people know that. But that's fine. So, that's my thoughts on the Hugo Awards, I guess. Maybe the trilogy is really good. I don't know. They always have good short story picks. Like, I do read those occasionally, the ones they pick for best short story.
I missed them this year. I was lazy.
I think short stories are the height of this science fiction genre, I guess.
You know what I like to do? At the public library, I go, like, almost every week. They have these anthologies of the old science fiction magazines that have all the short stories in them.
Yeah.
Like from the 60s and 70s and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like Amazing Science Fiction issue number blah, 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 blah. Those are such cool stories.
Some of those are really good. Short stories can be really, really good. Really, really good. They can put like little, I don't know, sometimes you always have an idea for like a small idea that's really cool, but you couldn't put in like a full-length novel. So they'll like put them in a short story and it's just really neat, you know.
And if it's bad, like you didn't.
Yeah, it's like, you know, okay, I wasted 20 minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
Who cares? Whereas if I read a novel and it turns out to be bad, it's like, well, I wasted like many hours.
Yeah.
And then in the case of Wonder Woman, you know, you waste, you know, 2.5 hours of your day because you're watching a bad superhero movie at the end of the day. Anyway, sorry, I'm ranting about Wonder Woman.
It's okay. These
things happen. I can't even. You're the showrunner now. I'm mad about Wonder Woman.
Okay. Do you want to talk about something better than Wonder Woman?
Please.
How about Olive Garden?
Olive Garden is the Wonder Woman of restaurants, okay? That doesn't really work.
Like, you walk in. And it seems like, hey, this is pretty nice. This is a nice Italian restaurant, right?
That's actually very accurate. Yeah. You sit down, you're like, this is good. I like the music.
They have a nice menu. Wow.
You start eating the breadsticks, you're like, wow.
They brought us sticks of bread. They have garlic on them.
These are good. I mean, you can't really screw up breadsticks, but they're like, hmm. Then you order. You get the food. You look at the food, and you're probably like, this looks pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Then you dig in. And what do you get?
It's kind of like pasta that you would just make at home if you were to just boil like water and put the pasta in.
It's just like the end of Wonder Woman, just not baked all the way through. Dump a can of sauce on it.
Yeah,
you know, appeasing the masses, as it were. Why are we talking about Olive Garden?
We're talking about Olive Garden because they have a new program for Olive Garden enthusiasts, an endless pasta card for an entire year.
Olive Garden enthusiasts. Do you think that's an existing subset of America right now?
It has to be. They have an annual pass
now. I'm Joe, and I'm an Olive Garden enthusiast. It's like Disney World.
Yeah. It's exactly like... No, that's what they're doing.
There are people out there that go to Disney, that get a Disney World annual pass. And they go to Disney World every all the time. So, yeah, maybe there are Olive Garden people like that. Anyway, what do you get with this pass? Yeah.
This Olive Garden pass, I don't know if it's just pasta, but it says it's the unlimited pasta pass. And it's $300, and
oh my God, you can get... You lost me already.
Eat it all.
$300 a year?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm turning around on this. You'd have to eat a lot of Olive Garden, but you could get your money's worth with that.
Yeah, I think regular price, like a chicken Alfredo is probably what, around $10 at Olive Garden?
$10, yeah.
So you would have to eat there 30 times in a year. So
it could be done.
It could be done.
So that's what, like 3 times a month?
Yeah, it's about that much.
It's doable.
Now, if you were an Olive Garden enthusiast, you could eat there for lunch and dinner every day.
Every day.
It's true. And get like 600 meals.
Do you think they'd start turning people away? Like, Joe, you've been here like every day.
Listen, man. I was going to bring this up. I'm so glad you said that. Okay, so in the news recently... There's been some other stuff in the news. You know how when you buy an unlimited data plan on your phone?
Yes.
And you use it all in like 2 days. And then they throttle you. They cut you down on speed for the rest of the month. I wonder if they do stuff like that at Olive Garden.
With the endless pasta.
Yeah. Like you go in and in 2 days you eat like 15 pasta dishes.
You like go breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And then you like come in for another dinner.
Yeah.
You get, like, everything. And there's something in the contract that's like, no, we're going to throttle you.
Then they throttle you, yeah.
Maybe there's, like, a thing where you can only eat so much pasta per month. You know what I mean? So, like, it's a baked-in throttling kind of thing.
You know? Yeah, like, it's not really unlimited, like, these data plans for your phone.
Mm-hmm. It's unlimited to a point, and then they're like, well, hold on. Pump the brakes here. Maybe they
will give you breadsticks.
Maybe they get you with other things. Like, okay, for example, get unlimited pasta, but you don't get your drink is not free. And maybe they start charging you for breadsticks, at a certain point. And then it's like, okay, every time you go into Olive Garden, you spend like $5. You're getting a drink, you're getting breadsticks, you're getting free pasta, but you're still spending money. And then people stop going every single day. You know what I mean?
Maybe, all right, so there's a system. It starts out, the drink and the breadsticks are free. Mm-hmm. After you eat, like, 15 in a month, 15 chicken Alfredos, now you got to start paying for your drink.
But you still get unlimited pasta.
Yeah, another 15, you got to start paying for your breadsticks.
Oh, wow. Another 15, there's, like, a service charge or something. It's, like, unlimited.
They, like, have your, they cut your chicken Alfredo in half.
But you can just get another one after you're done. They keep bringing you smaller and smaller portions.
And smaller amounts. Eventually, you have to sit there for like 3 hours to get your full chicken Alfredo.
That's actually brilliant on Olive Garden's part. No, this is the solution. Screw the drink cost thing. This is the real solution. It's like you go there enough and they're like, all right, we're giving him a quarter of the size of a chicken Alfredo, and then he's just gonna have to wait a really long time to get a full chicken Alfredo, because each time it's a reorder and it takes like 20 minutes to get it back, you know. So you're gonna sit there for like 3 hours
to get your full, eating smaller and smaller plates.
Each plate is smaller. They just keep bringing you smaller ones.
Like it's exactly like internet.
Like, this is exactly like the data plan, yeah. You have, like, packet loss. You get, like, full chicken Alfredo. You eat it all, and they're like, you're like another one. And they're like, all right, keep shrinking it, keep shrinking it, keep shrinking it. And then eventually you get, like, the tiniest chicken Alfredo.
Yeah. And then they send you a text message to your phone. Listen, you've used up.
You've eaten 20 chicken Alfredos this week. The next chicken Alfredo is going to be throttled. There's going to be no chicken in it. It's going to be all Alfredo. Or they give you chicken, they give you just, like, the smallest thing. Like, it's like, okay, here's your chicken. It's, like, one small piece of chicken, like, for the entire dish. And they're like, oh, you want more chicken in your chicken Alfredo? That'll be a $2 upcharge to get extra chicken in there. You know? These are the ways they could do this. See, there's ways they could.
These big corporations, man, it's never unlimited.
No, when there's always fine print there. So are you going to do the unlimited Olive Garden thing?
Absolutely not.
Could I challenge you to do it? Like,
You would have to do it too, and you would have to send me pictures to prove you were going. So we'd
both have to do it and send each other pictures. This would be kind of a fun thing to do. Like, the year before I die permanently, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, a last hurrah. I don't know if I want to go out with Olive Garden. But, like, one year when I'm really sad about my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we've reached the point in our lives where, like, nothing, you know, it's all downhill from here. Nothing's going to get better. Might as well do 1 year unlimited Olive Garden. And then we go every day, you know?
And it works because we're not going to enjoy anything we do.
No.
It doesn't matter if we're skydiving, going to a rave.
Going to Olive Garden. It's all the same. It's all going to
be miserable.
It's all terrible.
You might as well just go to Olive Garden. Like,
it's the same thing. Just as enjoyable as all the other things. And we have a blog where we take pictures and we upload all the Olive Garden adventures we go to, you know?
And we're never smiling in the pictures.
We're always just like, sad.
Yep.
Maybe the first one, it's like, and then it's just like sadder and sadder faces. Ugh,
yeah.
Sounds good. This sounds like a good idea. The problem with this, is this a year-long thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the problem with this
it's a whole year.
It's a year commitment. That's a long time.
Yeah.
Do they have a month pass, perchance?
I think there's a unlimited pasta season. I don't know how long it is. But
I would do that. So, like, if it was a month of, like, this is the Olive Garden month of your life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd be quite a journey. I don't know.
Would it?
Like, any other restaurant. Chick-fil-A. I'd do that. Like,
yeah, I would do any. I could do any other restaurant but Olive Garden. Something about Olive Garden that's just not good. I don't know. There's some... Something about, like, something I can't quite put my finger on why I don't like Olive Garden.
So what else did we have on the schedule for today?
Oh, so are you still on Linux? I wanted to ask you that before we moved on.
Yeah, I'm still running Linux.
How's it going over there on the Linux?
Seems to be going pretty smoothly.
Yeah.
You can hear me, I can hear you. That's all we need.
I had to update to Skype today. I gotta tell you, it's the worst. Like, I'm on Windows, so I'm not on Linux. Skype for Linux, or Skype for Windows, it's owned by Microsoft now, I think. So they're all trying to Microsoftize it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The update I just got, I hate it already. Like, that's how you know that it's bad.
Yeah.
Because here's the problem. So whenever I talk to you, because we do this podcast, I open Skype, I dial you up, and then I immediately minimize Skype because I don't need it up this whole time. I just let it in the background, and I have other tabs open, and I have Audacity open, blah, blah, blah. With this new Skype, it's decided that it thinks that whenever I minimize Skype, it should pop up a smaller window in the corner, right corner of my screen that's, like, actually pretty big, and it says, like, you're talking to Batsnacks. The call is lasting this long. Here's all these giant buttons that are on your screen. And you can't get rid of it. I mean, you can. You have to click the X button. But the problem is, like, I click the X button. It goes away. If I open Skype again and then I minimize it again, it pops up again. It pops up every time you minimize Skype, no matter what. And it's always there. It's just stupid, and I hate it.
Yeah, that's totally the Microsoft. It's just changing stuff that works for no reason except to change it and making everybody mad.
Can we talk about this for a second, actually? I think this is a relevant topic in today's society.
Sure.
The topic is redesigning applications that already work perfectly fine just for the sake of redesigning them. Because I feel like this trend is, like, incredibly common these days. And I don't think I've heard, maybe 5 years ago, like, if Google Maps is a good example, because they update all the damn time. They, like, update their stuff all the time. 5 years ago, when Google Maps did a major update, people were like, oh, hey, have you seen the new Google Maps? It's really useful. They added this and this and this. And you're like, oh, cool, check it out. Today, if Google Maps updates, people open it up and like, God damn it, they updated Google Maps again. I don't know how to use this damn thing.
I don't even know how to get home now.
Right, exactly. And like, why did they update it then? If everyone already knew how to use it and were very happy with Google Maps, why change it? And I really don't understand, but there's like these companies, they have an obsession with like redesigning things that already work. It's like, let's redesign the wheel. Like, you know, they're not taking if it ain't broke, don't fix it to heart. And I don't know, I kind of have a problem with that. Because
I think most of the time they're not even changing what's happening underneath the user interface.
They're just changing the user interface, yeah.
It's like in a car, they took the steering wheel and decided, you know what, let's just put it in the seat.
That's what all the kids want to use these days. And let's move the dashboard. Yeah. Dashboard on the ceiling.
Make a lever.
The dashboard's on the ceiling now. And your mirrors are in the front and the back. Oh, God. Pretty much. And the brake, you have to, like, honk a horn to, like, brake.
Put it where the horn used to be.
You slam it with your hand. That's the brake. It's functionally the same way. Like, under the hood, it's doing the same things. But, like, yeah. Let's just redesign it, because it's fun. And then they'll have some bullshit reason where they'll, like, well, we did some research, and we found that this is a more efficient blah, blah, blah design for this. Like, oh, really? Okay.
You know what they did? They sent a bunch of surveys to people's emails, and the only people that answered the surveys were people that were, like, drunk at 2 a.m. with troll answers.
And they're like, I'm going to say that they should put the brake in the steering wheel, LOL.
Microsoft is like, yeah, that's a good
idea. Yeah. Let's do that. What are we paying all these UX designers for? I don't know. Let's get them to do something. All right, let's have them make some stuff. That's what I feel. I feel like it's just like they have all these people that are working for them, salaried. You know, developers, user experience designers, blah blah blah, artists. You know, etc. You name it, running around. They're paying them a lot of money. And they're like, oh, yeah, we work on Skype. We're the Skype team. It's like, you got 30 people on the Skype team. That's a lot of people for a product that is good already, and you could just leave it. They're like, no, let's redesign it. Because we got all these bodies. We're paying them like $100,000 a year. Like,
yeah, they got to do something.
Might as well get them to do something. And then they do that. I think Google's is probably the same way. It's like, well, the Google Maps team is like 100 people. We're spending like $5 million on their salary. We could just have like a skeleton crew of 10 that keep it updated. But, you know, let's just let them do something. Throw them a bone. They really want to redesign the Google Maps system. Ugh. I don't know. That's my thoughts on that. I don't like redesign for the sake of just let's make it new. I don't know, it just doesn't make sense. You reach a point where it's like, oh, this is working exactly as I want it to, or as good as it's gonna get, and let's just, you know, leave it alone. You know,
one company that I really, really admire for its user design and how it stayed consistent but like improved at the same time is Adobe, especially Adobe Photoshop. Man,
that team is
good.
They haven't like changed anything like wholesale. Like, they've just added new features without completely altering the way it works.
The most major change they've made is they've made it dark themed, which is so much easier on your eyes. Everything should be dark themed anyway. Yeah. So yeah.
But once you learn it, Adobe, you can go back to it. Like, I learned Photoshop 10 years ago, and I recently opened it again, and I'm like, oh, I remember where everything is. I mean, there was a little learning curve, but. You know, it wasn't like some of these programs where it's like, oh, yeah, I used that 10 years ago. You open it now and you're like, everything's in a different place. Like, yeah, like Word. Like, what the hell? I don't even know where anything is in Word anymore. Or like Outlook. Like,
yeah.
Like, send an email. Like, okay, how do I attach an image to the email? And then I was doing this at work yesterday. Like, I Google, like, how do I attach an image to an email? There's like an attach, you can do the attachment. Or you can like embed the image in the email, right? I want to do the embed. So I like look it up and I get to the Microsoft site and it's like, here's how to do it. And I read the instructions, and this is for an old version of Outlook that is not used anymore, but it's the first thing that I see on the Microsoft site. And I look for my current version, can't find it anywhere. They redesigned it and then they forgot to tell me how to use their new frickin' redesign. It's like, what are you doing over there? Sorry,
I deal with it every day. It sucks.
So annoying. Like, I used to know how to do this.
I have a new game for us to play.
I'm very excited about this.
A one-off activity that we're going to do in lieu of trivia.
I'm very excited.
Do you want to start it?
Yeah, let's do it right now. I want to do it right now.
Okay. First, I need to give you a little bit of background on what we're doing.
Go for it.
So, back in the 1950s and 60s...
We're going way back.
We're going way back.
Okay.
There was... American industry was doing really well.
Yep.
People were experimenting with new marketing tactics.
Yep.
And one of the things they used to do were called industrial musicals.
I have no idea what that is, but it sounds awesome.
So what they would do is a company would pay a composer to compose them a musical for their product.
Okay.
And then they would hire like a full staff of performers to put it on at a trade show or in a commercial.
Okay. So this is like music that goes along with their product or whatever? Okay.
Yeah, and you would get something like Coca-Cola, the musical, playing at the beverage trade show.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. So the game we're going to do today is I'm going to play you a 30-second to 1-minute clip of a song.
Okay.
And you're going to have to guess who produced it and what the musical was called.
Okay, so these are all real.
These are all real.
Okay, I can't wait. Let's do it.
I'll play you a song, and then there'll be choices, and one of the choices might be Coca-Cola, the best beverage ever.
Yep.
Is the name of the musical.
I gotcha.
All right.
I'm ready.
You ready?
Let's do it.
All right, so let me set up your first clip real quick.
How will I know when this is done? Are you going to come back on and be like, that's it, or whatever?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure.
Okay. Ready?
Yep.
I've got a wide range of features, like this keyboard type control. You ought to see just how much this great big master oven holds. I've got a new warning buzzer on my thermometer for meat. I've got a wide range of features. They can't be beat.
That sounded oddly sexual.
It's the 50s and 60s, man.
Okay. I feel like it's like some kind of oven cooking appliance. But go ahead. I get options, right?
Yeah, you get options. Let me read you what it could be.
Okay.
Is it A, Weber Grills?
Okay.
It's a gas. That's the name of the musical.
Could not be a good name.
Is it B, Kraft Commercial Kitchens, a job well done? Is it C, GE Appliances, it's a great new life?
Okay.
Or is it D, Samsung Semiconductors, Laboratory Disco a Go Go?
It can't be that one.
It could be.
I feel like it was kitchen themed. So I feel like one and A and C were pretty kitcheny. What was B again?
B was Kraft Commercial Kitchens, a job
well
done.
Then you had Weber. Then you had GE.
Weber, it's a gas. And then GE Appliances, it's a great new life.
So Weber makes grills, but they could also make, I don't know. In the 50s, they could have made ovens and stuff too. So it's definitely possible. I feel like GE is what I'd pick if this was commercial came out today, because they're the most obvious name brand.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm torn between GE and the kitchen. What was the kitchen something?
Kraft Commercial
kitchen
Kitchens.
Kraft, yeah. Because I feel like both of those sound like they make a lot of kitchen appliances, like ovens and stovetops and microwaves, blah, 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 blah. And the song sounded like it was about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to go with GE. Final answer.
GE Appliances?
Yeah.
It's a great new life?
It's a great new life.
It's a great new life. You're correct.
Yeah! That just sounded like something. Samsung, a go-go, or...
Samsung Semiconductor Laboratory Disco a go-go.
Is that real or did you make that up?
I made that up.
Oh, well, I wish
I thought it could be a lab. Like, they're cooking something.
No, I gotcha. I wish that was real.
That's all right, great. You ready for your next one?
I'm so ready.
Okay.
My bathroom is a private kind of place. Very special kind of place. The only place where I can stay, making faces at my face. My bathroom, my bathroom is my very special room, where I primp and fuss and groom, where I can get away from all and really feel in bloom. I'm free.
That one just going and going. It's like, my bathroom. My bathroom. Wow. Obviously,
ready
about
for your
the
choices?
Bathroom.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is it A, American Standard, the bathrooms are coming?
What? No. Okay.
Is it B, Sears, the invasion of the bathroom snatchers?
Okay.
Is it C, Mansfield, Night of the Living Bathrooms?
No way.
Or is it D, Kohler, The Last Bathroom on the Left?
These are all terrible names for musicals.
They're all based on horror movies, too.
So this is literally... What the hell? Okay, so the first one was...
American Standard, the bathrooms are coming.
The bathrooms are coming.
B, Sears.
Beth Kohler.
Yeah, B, Sears, invasion of the bathroom snatchers. C, Mansfield, night of the living bathrooms.
These are so bad. I wouldn't name my musical any of these things. This does, like, that didn't sound like a horror musical. It sounded like a woman having a good time because she has a nice bathroom.
Where things she, like, might
powders her
get
nose
scary after that. You know, we only listen to like it's a
like,
minute.
It's like a rock opera, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like a concept album. Like, that's just like the nice opening number, and then it gets like really dark and like minor key, and it's like boom, 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 boom.
The bathrooms are invading.
The bathrooms are coming. And there's like creatures crawling up through like the toilet. It's like boom, 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 boom. And it's all about like how if you don't use Kohler or whatever bathrooms, your bathroom's going to like attack you, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's like, they got the big bass drum. And then there's like zombies or something, and they're like trying to get you in your bathroom.
Night of the Living Bathrooms. And you know, your good bathroom from Mansfield defends you from the evil bathrooms from Sears.
Maybe that's what the... So it's like a rock opera where you you start out in your bathroom, and it's all nice. You're like powdering.
It's your very special room.
And it's a Mansfield, because you know it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the zombie apocalypse happens, like, during the powdering of your nose process.
Mm-hmm.
And all the zombies are getting everywhere, trying to get into your bathroom. But they realize their bathroom is so clean and nice because it's a Mansfield that they don't need, like, they don't have any point because they want, like, dirty things.
Yeah.
There you go. That's my, justification. No, I'm going to go with... this is really hard. I'm going to go with... what was the first one?
American Standard, the bathrooms are coming.
Yeah, I'm going to go with American Standard, the bathrooms are coming.
That one is correct.
Yes! That one smelled like the least ridiculous sounding. But they, I mean, they all sound ridiculous.
All right. Ready for your next one?
I'm ready.
Okay. Which one am I going to do?
You have more than three?
We could do up to four. So, all right. Ready?
Yep.
There's something about a Monroe man, the way he tries to explain his selling plan. Although his roots may be square, he's something right out of hair. There's something about a Monroe man. I dig his scientific loading notations, his factorials and reciprocals are such an
That one was that jazzy. I like that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, here you go. Your choices are, is it A, Monroe Embedded Systems, My Fair Monroe?
Okay.
Is it B, Monroe Processors, Power to the People?
It's all Monroe. I thought I would be easy with no. just Monroe. Okay.
Is it Monroe Calculators, It's a Brand New Ball Game?
Okay.
Or is it D, Monroe Servos, Breakfast at Monroe's?
What? What? Oh, I get it. I get the subtitle thing now.
Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah. So here's the hard thing about that one. The bathroom one was clear about the bathroom. The Monroe one, I have no idea what the hell she was singing about. She was like, you're a Monroe man, something about a ceiling fan, like... I don't know. I didn't get anything out of that one.
You didn't get the floating decimal points or the factorials.
I guess I heard that part too, but
yeah,
like it seemed very random, like what she was talking about. I guess is my point. So it could be math. It could be servo related. That's like physics-y, right? There's like mm-hmm. math in there.
Yes.
What was the? So we got. We got
Monroe Embedded Systems, My Fair Monroe.
See, that sounds like it's a catch-all for all of them. You know, mm-hmm. for all the stuff she was talking about. Okay.
Monroe Processors, Power to the People.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Calculators, It's a Brand New Ball Game. Yeah. Or Servos, Breakfast at Monroe's.
I'm in between Servos and... processors.
What do you think?
Oh, I don't know. This is hard. I'm gonna go with what was the subtitle for the processor one?
Power to the People.
Power to, that's a good subtitle. Processors, Power to the People.
Mm-hmm. Servos, Breakfast at Monroe's.
I feel like the Breakfast at Monroe's is less likely to be a real subtitle. Like, Power to the People just sounds like an ad campaign.
Yeah.
For something. So I'm going to go with that one. Processors, Power to the People.
That is incorrect. It Damn was it. Calculators.
It was... No, it really was?
Yes.
Oh, that was the last one I thought it was. What was the subtitle for that one?
It's a Brand New Ball Game for some That's reason.
Not even a good... Okay, whatever.
Yeah, my names were so much better.
They were. Power to the People was good. That was, like, the best one. That was, like, it sounded like a real ad. Brand new ball game.
It has like alliteration, processors, Power to the People.
Exactly.
All right, ready for your final one?
Yes, let's do the final one.
Okay.
He doesn't sell them, your tires is hell. 5, 10, 50, 20 tires to sell. 20, 30, 40, 50 tires is hell. 50, 60, 70, 80 tires to sell. He's got tires to sell.
I've got him now, he's mine for sure. This panther's gonna strike, then watch him purr. I'm strutting my stuff, just waiting for applause. The cat is on the prowl, I'm sharpening my claws.
Holy shit. I loved that one. I would download that song good? In real life. I want the whole thing. I want that whole thing. I mean, we don't play it right now, but I want to hear the whole thing. That was great.
Here's the thing. Like, they hired really talented musicians to do this.
That was phenomenal. Like, that sounded like a real good song. Like, I would listen to that song.
Like, in real life. Selling tires.
I mean, I know the lyrics are really dumb, but, like, it was, like, kind of dark and brooding. You know, mm-hmm. It sounded like something out of a movie soundtrack, you know? It's like, dude, like a musical, like the scary part of a musical, you know? Like
yeah,
Sweeney Todd or something like that, you know?
The first time you see the villain, he's like in his lab.
Yes. He's the tire villain. He's like selling tires. Or no, he's selling like bad tires. He's like the Sweeney Todd of tire salesmen. So he like sells
puts
bad
people
tires.
In his tires. He's got like a Tyler Durden thing. He robs medical waste factories of fat because it makes better tires, right?
And then eventually he like sells tires to people and they're like really bad tires and then they crash outside of his shop and then he takes the people and then makes them into tires.
Into tires.
That's Sweeney terrifying. Tire. What?
Did you just say Sweeney Tire?
I did.
That's awesome.
Sweeney Tire, what is it? Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
The demon mechanic of Fleet
Street. The demon mechanic of Wyoming Boulevard. I don't know. He's got tires to sell. I loved that one. Okay, I want to hear what the questions are.
All right. Is it A, Kelly Staffing Services, The Tale of the Revenue Wizard?
I like that title.
Is it B, Chevrolet, Wild World of Sales?
Okay.
Is it C, B.F. Goodrich Tires, The Great Life? Mm-hmm. Or is it D, Firestone, Fire and Fury?
I don't think it's the staffing one because it doesn't have anything to do with tires. But maybe
you don't think
does.
It's the Revenue Wizard?
I don't think it's the Revenue Wizard. Although that's a good name. Chevrolet could be. I don't know if they made tires in the 50s, but they could have. B.F. Goodrich and Firestone are both tire brands. What was the B.F. Goodrich subtitle?
The Great Life.
See, that musical did not sound like it was called The Great Life. It sounded a lot darker than that.
Yeah.
And then Firestone was Fire and Fury, right?
Fire and Fury.
See, that's the kind of title that I can read into the musical of, you know? It's like,
We've got tires to sell. I'm sharpening my claws.
I know, like he's a panther or something. Sweeney Tire, the demon mechanic of Wyoming Boulevard. I'm going to go with Firestone. Fire and Fury.
Okay, that's incorrect. It was B.F. Goodrich.
Damn it. Ugh. A Good Life or something? What was it?
The Great Life. I don't know. Like, that's bad. I don't get that. It sounded like such a dark song.
I want to hear the rest of that song. That sounds like... Like, if you told me, like, this is a song that was in a late... Like a mid-70s, like, weird rock band...
Yeah.
Like concept album, like, oh, have you heard of the Who's rock opera that they did this really weird one about a tire salesman? Here's one of the songs. I'd have been like, oh yeah, sounds like that. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I could like you could put that in rotation on like a late night DJ
set, and it
would totally like.
If I was a DJ, I'd play it.
Yeah,
man, that was hard.
All right, so I think you got 3 out of 4.
I think I did 2 out of 4, because I didn't get the last two. Halfway. Wah, wah, wah. Oh, well. That was really good. I didn't even know these things existed until now. That was a fun trivia. I'm going to look up that tire song after the show's over, though, I got to tell you. We should tweet a link to it if it exists somewhere.
Yeah, we should. We can do that after the show.
We don't have a lot of time. Do you want to do some Would You Rathers to finish out here?
Sure.
Or do you have like a really, really good Reddit that you like need to get off your chest?
Really good Reddit is like kind of an oxymoron.
I don't know what you got. Why don't you peruse it really fast and see if you have anything good?
Let's do Would You Rathers. Okay. We can fall back on
I got three for you. They're all really good. Would you rather be able to sleep or have a superpower?
Sleep, probably.
Yeah. I think when I was a kid, I'd be like, yep, superpower. But now, I'm like, nope, I want to sleep.
What would I do with that superpower? I still have to go to work.
That's true.
And I need my sleep. Damn it.
That sounds like a good, like, TV show idea. Like a superhero who, like, he has to work still, right? Because, like, that's how society mm-hmm. works.
Yeah.
So, like, they have to go to work, but they're, like, a superhero. And they can't really utilize their powers because they don't have time.
Then they'll get fired, and then they yeah. can't eat.
And like, when they get home from work, they're too tired to, like, be a superhero, you know? I guess this is the plot of The Incredibles already, but whatever. It's fine.
This is, like, the plot of my life.
You don't have superpowers, though.
You don't know that. I might just be too tired.
Maybe you do. Oh, maybe that's, like, your kryptonite, being tired from work or whatever is your kryptonite. What would your superpower even be?
I don't know, telepathy or something. It's interesting, though, because this is, like, someone like Batman, he doesn't work.
Yeah,
like,
he doesn't need to work. That's why he's so good at being Batman, though.
Yeah, but if he was, like, worked in the call center at Wayne Enterprises, yeah. Batman would be a lot different.
He wouldn't even be Batman anymore. Maybe he would. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he'd be, like, I don't even know what he would do anymore. He wouldn't have any cool gadgets. He would just, like, fight people in the streets.
He would have to make his own.
Like,
out of, like, plastic bottles and...
Now, this is a Batman I could get behind. He's, like, DIY Batman.
He's Pinterest Batman. Like,
like, half of it just doesn't work at all. Yeah. He field tests it, like, in the field. Like, yeah. He has, like, a batarang, and it, like, doesn't come back. You know, he's got, like, a grappling hook that is, like, made out of, like, a soda bottle and, like, a pulley or something, you know?
Yeah, he made his costume out of, like, Pinterest instructions, and it, like, his wardrobe malfunctions pretty frequently.
They, like, fall, like, part of his sleeves fall off. Like, it's just a bunch of, like, shirts he, like, cut up and, like, pasted together, like, with like, what's the plaster of Paris or like
the hot glue gun?
Yeah, like a hot glue gun. And then his mask is made out of like paper mache.
All right, do you remember back in school we would make those masks out of paper plates? You'd like cut eyes.
Yes, it's like that. And he like spray paints it black. Instead of the Batmobile, he's got like an old Chevy Cutlass. From like 1960 something, and it's like a piece of junk, and he put like wings on it, and that's like the Batmobile. Oldsmobile Cutlass, that's what it's called. But yeah, it's like a big boat of a car that he's got like bat wings on it, and he lives near like a body of water. So he, like, mm-hmm. makes, like, a fake, like, waterfall to, like,
to drive to keep his stuff in.
And so he can drive through it whenever he's about to fight crime. You know, Batman's gotta drive through a waterfall at some point. Like, that's very important to the character of Batman.
I think maybe in the first episode, he tests the waterfall thing, and as he drives under it, it, like, floods his car.
Like, it's unsealed all the way.
He's like, great.
He's like, god damn it. And there's like a crime going on, but like he can't do it now because his car's all flooded. He has to bring it to a mechanic. And they're like, that'll be $2,000. And he's like, I don't have that kind of money, though.
He calls his insurance company and they're like, well, you didn't opt for flood damage in your car, so we actually can't help you.
And like the first whole season of the show is him trying to just make enough money to like repair his car. Like, he's not even crime-fighting anymore. Oh, man. I like DIY Batman. I like it. His gadgets would be wild, though. Like, they wouldn't work.
Yeah, like, he's really smart, but, like, he just doesn't have the tools to utilize it.
Yeah, maybe he went to school for, like, electrical engineering, but, like, dropped out or something. You know, because, like, it's too expensive. And he's got, like, a lot of student loan debt or something, you know.
Yeah. It's tough out there. He's got to make his own stuff.
In this economy, you know, you got to work at the call center at Wayne Enterprises. He, like, does, like, tech support or something like that, you know.
Yeah, like, or, like, billing, something dumb.
Billing. He's billing. He dreams of working in tech support. He's like, that's where I want to be. I don't want to work in billing anymore. Oh, DIY Batman. That's good. I like his.
It's a good idea.
He and his bat bike could be like a bicycle. Then he puts like a firework on the back of it when he wants to go really fast.
It's like a 6-speed mountain bike that he like found in the woods
in the junkyard, and he repaired it. All right. This one's dirty. I'm gonna skip it.
It's weird. Okay.
Would you rather spend your entire life in a small, cold car or in a bed on a field?
Well, the small, cold car, you could move around a little bit.
Yeah, you could.
You could drive.
You could drive. But it's a small, cold car. You can't get out of the car. You have to be in the car the whole time. Small and it's cold.
If you build the bed in the field, will they come? Have you ever seen Field of Dreams?
Yes, I have. Who will come? Who's coming?
I don't know.
That's scary. Bed in a field would be frightening. That sounds like a nightmare, right? You like wake up on a bed in a field.
That you can't leave.
That sounds extremely scary. I'm like getting goosebumps just thinking about that.
Yeah, like... No one good visits you when you're in bed. Like, only bad
people. And no one good visits you at night in a field. Like, have you ever seen any horror movie? Like, there's always a field at night. Like, that's scary.
Yeah.
That'd be super scary. The weird thing about this one is, would you rather bot? Most people said in a bed on a field.
No way.
Yeah, it was like 80-20%. Which I can't believe, like... Yeah, the car's going to be small and cold, but it's a car. It's small. It's cold. It gives me shelter from when it rains. I can drive around.
It's not in a field.
I'm protected from monsters and aliens that'll come get me when I'm in a field in my bed, you know? I feel like being on a field in a bed, that's like a perfect place to get abducted by aliens. So it's like the prime place. It's like you're just putting yourself on a plate and like ringing the dinner bell.
Like... If I really wanted to get abducted by aliens, that would be the first thing I would try.
It's like, okay, what do I do? I'll get a really old bed, throw it in the field, and I'll just lay on that. And I'll be like, here I am. Like, make a crop circle around it. And just like, here I am.
I hope no one abducts me tonight. Like,
and then you like, wink, wink. Do you think some crazy man has done that before?
It sounds like something I would do.
It sounds like something a crazy man would do that, like, got abducted when they were, like, really young. And they're like, none of their friends believe. And they're like, I'll show you. I'm going to take my bed to the field tonight and get abducted by aliens.
Yeah, he, like, rigs a webcam to, like, take a video of him.
On the bedpost.
Here's the thing. Like, he has a bad dream one night that he gets abducted because he's like scared himself into thinking that he's going to be abducted by doing all this crazy stuff, and his webcam goes out just because there's a power surge or something.
Yeah, so he like wakes up in the morning. Proof positive though,
and he's like, oh, "They got me again."
But they turned it off before they did it. And then he hires DIY Batman to solve his case.
Yes.
That has been episode 95 of the Time Bat Show. Who's our sponsor today, Bat Snacks?
Our sponsor today is... How about... Kelly Staffing Services.
What was the subtitle for that one again?
Tale of the Revenue Wizard.
Tale of the Revenue Wizard. Kelly Staffing Services... has this great musical out in Broadway right now called Tale of the Revenue Wizard. It's fantastic. You got to see it. It's the new Hamilton. It's just dynamite. So go see that. Kelly Revenue Services. Remember, when you're in a bind...
Don't get too far behind.
Oh, nice. I'm Time Aces.
I'm Bat Snacks.
Good night, everyone, and drive safely.
Drive safely.